Good morning, Grace. Welcome to our Sunday morning service. He is risen. Of course, he is risen indeed. Let's pray before we go any further in our service. We're going to take communion. I'm going to speak a little bit about Rachel, and we're going to go into our Sunday morning message. It's from Ephesians 3, starting at verse 16, very familiar to us by now. And it starts off with, I pray. So let's join this in this together. Listen to the words as well. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and how deep the love of Christ is. And to know this love that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Amen. That's a prayer for us. As I said, we are going to take communion together. First of all, I just want to say a little bit about Rachel. Rachel typifies the gospel in one sense. Rachel was simplistic in many ways, but also very smart. She wasn't anybody's fool. She did have learning difficulties, and she did have epilepsy, and she found it difficult to make right decisions at times. But because she was part of a family, our family, she was loved, she was cared for to the best of our ability. And there isn't much more we could have done as a church or a fellowship. So well done, good and faithful servants. It's tragic that Rachel should die in the way that she did. But the truth is, to live is Christ, to die is gain. We preach it. To be at home in the body is to be absent with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. And today, obviously, we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Because he died and he rose again, because he lives, we also live. So Rachel also lives. So we can find comfort in that. And at the right time, when we can all gather together in fellowship, and maybe Stephen's in a good frame of mind, we can invite family members and have a memorial, a celebration of Rachel's life, because every life is precious. Remember, God so loved the world that he gave, that whoever, and Rachel was one of the whoever's, the same as me and you. So let's remember Rachel's family in our prayers, particularly Stephen and Rachel's mum. And as I said before, it's tragic that Rachel should die in the way that she did, but praise be to God, she's in a better place. That's the hope of the gospel. Amen? Amen. We're going to take communion together. I want to read a portion of scripture from 2 Corinthians 5 just before we go into communion. So if you do have any bread or any juice or any wine and you want to take communion now, then please take communion with me, and let's see as many of us as possible take communion, because it is a meal that we should have together. But obviously, we can't be together at this moment. But Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Trinity, Christ in us, the hope of glory. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 and 15, it says this: for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And when God, it says, he was in the room with his disciples, and he took the bread and he broke the bread. And I'll do that myself. He took the bread and he broke the bread. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. My body broken for you. And today of all days is a day that we should be reminded of the price that Christ paid for me and you. This is his body broken for me and you. In the same way, he took the cup. Let me go and get my cup. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. This is my blood that's shed for each and every one of you. Remember, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. Today of all days, we need to remember the resurrection of Christ, the command that he gave us to do this in remembrance of the price that he paid for us. Amen. Amen. This is very strange for me, church, to be speaking while I'm looking into a camera, but it's certainly better than looking at the wall. I have photographs on my wall here, some of my grandchildren. We've been looking at storms and anchors. And today, yes, is Easter, and we celebrate the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Yes, he was born, and round about Christmas time, we celebrate his birth. He died, and we don't celebrate his death, but in one sense, we do, because if he didn't die, he wouldn't be raised. And if he wasn't raised, we wouldn't be raised. But today, we celebrate that he rose from the grave. Up from the grave he rose. Victorious he became. Oh, death, where is your sting? It couldn't hold Christ. So yes, we've been talking over the weeks and months about anchors in the storms of life. And the truth of the resurrection of Christ surely is an anchor for us as a church. Surely is an anchor for every Christian. Something solid that we can hang on to when storms come. And yes, the world is in a storm at the moment. And yes, there are anchors that we can hold on to. So continuing to use that as a backdrop, when we see through that story of Paul's journey, where he had to face Caesar, he was in a storm. And they said they were afraid. He was encouraging them to keep up their faith. They said they dropped four anchors out of fear. And then they prayed. And you know what? Prayer for us, as I said before, is an anchor. Today we're going to look at Christ Jesus. It's going to be a gospel message. It's going to be a message for those that don't know Christ, because we speak it out. We believe that when we preach his word, it doesn't come back void. It will go out, it will accomplish. Even the centurion said, I know what it is to be a man under authority. Just say the word and it will be done. So we're going to speak this word over our communities, over our families. And anyone who's watching this, this word is for you. It's for you, whether you're a Christian or you're someone on a journey. I want to look at a scripture in John 3:14. This message, half of it will be the gospel. The other half will be the gospel, but it will be for Christians to remind us of who we are and what the Great Commission is. So I hope as I weave in and out of scripture, and I read a lot of scriptures, that you will be able to see what it is the Holy Spirit wants you to see today. Because my words are not important. His word is. So listen. And if you don't get it the first time, listen to it again until you get it into your heart. Read the scriptures that I'm quoting. Because let the word do the work. In John 3:14, just as Moses was lifted up, or Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, and remember, all those that looked up at the snake that was lifted up were healed. Read through your Old Testament. So the Son of Man, which is Christ Jesus, must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. And he was lifted up on a cross, wasn't he? And this scripture is saying we need to look up to him. And all those that look to him, that has faith in him, will have eternal life. This life is but a breath, remember. This is a good news story, church. For God so loved the world. We know this portion of scripture, don't we? We're familiar with it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever, you're the whoever, I'm the whoever, Rachel was the whoever, our friends and our neighbours are the whoever. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So salvation, this scripture says, can only be through Christ Jesus. There is no other way to come except through Christ. You can only get to the Father through the Son. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned. So if you choose not to put your faith in Christ, then you choose condemnation. You are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. The light is Christ. Light has come into the world. But people have loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear of their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth, remember what Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that they have done, it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Scripture is sharper than a two-edged sword. Scripture will divide. Scripture will divide rightly. So let's be individuals that will look at God's word. Today is Resurrection Sunday, is what we could call it, isn't it? Up from the grave he rose. We do celebrate that because he lives, we live. But it's not enough to keep this to ourselves. We need to share it with others. In John 3:34, it says this. For the one whom God has sent, that's Christ, speaks the words of God. For God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything into his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. There's the gospel again. Whoever believes in the Son is Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life. They'll see life in this lifetime, but eternity they will be damned. So this is a simplistic message, but a strong message, but a message of redemption nevertheless, because God loves you enough to give you the choice to choose. Choose life. Eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. Choose life. If you're watching this and you don't know, you've not accepted Christ as Saviour and Lord, today is the day of salvation. The Bible says repent and believe. Repent means turn away from your old life, that doing it your way, and do it Yahweh, God's way. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Lord, empower me, impact me, that I may be born again of your Spirit. In Romans 3, starting at verse 21. But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I just want to pause there for a moment. If you know Scripture, you'll know what the Old Testament says about the law. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is life. There had to be a blood offering, a sacrifice right from the beginning in the garden when man sinned. God shed blood to cover their sin, to cover their nakedness. There had to be a blood offering. That was the law. But this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ. There's a sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. He died on the cross to pay for my sin and your sin as a gift, so we don't have to. It's a righteousness that comes through faith. But that faith comes not in external things, not in the works that we do, but it comes only in Christ Jesus. Faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe. And the all is the whosoever. The all is you. The all are your community. All those that hear this who don't know Christ, you're the all. All those that do know Christ, you're the all. I'm part of the all who believe. Therefore, there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. For all have sinned. It doesn't matter how good we think we are. It doesn't matter if we believe that we are righteous in our own eyes. Without Christ in our lives, they're like filthy rags. And it's a great leveler. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what ethnicity you are. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. All have sinned. You, me, and everybody else. We've all sinned. All of us. For all have sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. We've all missed the mark, in other words. and all are justified freely. To be justified is just as if I never sinned at all. God says that he will wash our sins away if we ask him to forgive us and come into our lives, to regenerate us, to say, Lord, the old me has gone and the new me is here. I've been born of your spirit. I repent, Lord. I turn to you. That justification is freely given by his grace through the redemption that came through Jesus Christ. Christ redeemed us. He paid the price. That's why Easter is so important for Christians. It's not just about the death. It's also about the resurrection. Because he lives, he became the first fruit. And if he lives, then we live all too. Also, we have an eternal perspective. As I said, this is a good news story. In Romans 10, verse 17. Consequently, faith comes by hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word about Christ. So this is a message. You're listening to this message, so you hear this message, and it's about Christ. So faith comes by hearing the message. The message is heard through the word about Christ. So the more you listen to people speak about Jesus Christ, the more you read scripture for yourself, and you listen to what God says through his son Jesus, the more faith will grow in your life. Without faith, the Bible says, it's impossible to please God. I don't know about you, but I want to be one that will please God. So this is a gospel message. This is a good news story. Hebrews 9, verse 22. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed by blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Why did Jesus have to shed his blood on the cross? Well, this scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Forgiveness comes through a blood sacrifice. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The gift of God is life in all its fullness if we put our trust in him. We cannot fulfill the law because we are not righteous, but because of his righteousness, and we put our faith in what he has already done. Remember that, church. We put our faith in what he has already done. We become righteous because of his righteousness. We don't have to shed our blood. We need to trust and believe that he shed his blood for us. That's faith. So the more you listen to a word about Christ, the more you read about Jesus Christ, the more faith that you will have. God is a good God. Amen. In John 12, 23, Jesus is talking here and he says this. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly. In other words, listen, or truly, truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains but a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while everyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. What is he saying here? Unless a seed, if you take a seed and you put it in your hand and you keep it in your hand, it will just be one seed. But if you bury that seed, if you allow that seed to die in the ground, it actually becomes alive, doesn't it? Because the kernel of wheat will break open and new life will be resurrected in one sense. Well, you get the picture? You get what Jesus is saying? He's using everyday life here. If you don't plant a seed, you won't get a multiplication. But if you do plant the seed, you will get a multiplication. Jesus Christ became that seed for me and you. When he died on the cross and he was buried in the grave, he was buried as a seed, but he rose again so that many seeds may be germinated, many seeds may be produced. There may be much fruit, and that fruit will have life and life in all its fullness. I'm part of that fruit. Are you? Because I put my faith in Christ, I'm part of that fruit. How about you? Let's pray together at this junction that this may be the hour, this may be the day. Maybe you've thought about praying a prayer for a long time. Maybe during this corona epidemic, you're thinking, you know, life is not going to be the same. What about my eternal perspective? We know about heaven and we know about hell. Heaven is where God is, and hell is where he isn't. I don't know about you, but I want to be in heaven. Father, pray with me. Pray with me. If you have never prayed this prayer of salvation, pray with me. Father, I ask you to forgive me of my sins, my trespasses, the wrong thoughts, the wrong actions. Lord, I pray that you would enter into me, that, Lord, that I would be born of your Spirit, that, Father God, that I repent and ask you to come and live with me. Reveal yourself to me, that I may have life and life in all its fullness. Lord, open my eyes that I may see you, and stop my ears I may hear you. Lord, help me to keep my feet on solid ground, that I may build upon the rock of Jesus Christ. I ask this in your name, the name of Jesus. Fill me by your Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let's continue. I just wanted to put that in so that we can enjoy the rest of God's word, because it's life, isn't it? It's bread, it's water. It's something that should sustain us, anchors in the storms of life. God is a good God. In 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3 is where we're going to start. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion. Remember, compassion is a word that compassion compels us to do something. And God had compassion on you, so he sent his Son to die for you. Compassion and the God of all comfort. There are many people around the world today that they need comforting. There are many people who are fearful and they need comforting. Let me start from that verse 3 again. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, not just some of our troubles, church, but all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble. So God gives to us that we can give to others. When I say at the end of my message, be blessed that you may be a blessing, then you need to receive the comfort that God offers so that you can comfort others. So you're the hands, the feet, and the pockets of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's much that we can do, church. This is the day of salvation. Who comforts us in all our troubles, not just some, but all. That word is speaking to you today. Are you in trouble? Take God's comfort. So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, remember, we're not immune to sufferings, but Christ said that I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's good news, isn't it? We're not immune to it, but we have him walking with us. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's there with us as we walk through. As we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. To abound is not just to have enough, it's to have more than enough. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. This is the apostle speaking. And our hope, my hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, you also share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. That is extreme pressure. But listen, so that we despised life itself. In other words, it was tough. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. Ever been there? But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. See, God raises the dead. He raises me, he'll raise you. He raised his Son. Jesus was the first fruits, we're the rest to come. Good news story. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope, that we will continue. He will continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf. for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Prayer is an anchor in the times of trouble. When we pray for one another, we bring comfort. When we pray for ourselves, we bring comfort. We understand that Christ and Him crucified, the great deliverer, will deliver me and you. Remember in that story of Acts, Paul says, I have faith to believe that God will do what He said and promised He will do. Well, church, I have faith and you have faith. Together, we have much faith. Let's believe that God is going to do a mighty work in us. And if you are fearful, then just fall upon Him. If you are feeling burdened and troubled, cast them onto Him. Jesus Christ, the name above every other name. Remember, this is a good news story. Remember Christ in us, the hope of glory. The Bible says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, just think about that. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. How awesome is that, church? Lives in you. And if you prayed that prayer and asked God to come into your life through the power of His Holy Spirit because of your repentance and your acceptance as Jesus Christ as your Saviour and your Lord, then that power lives in you. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead will raise me and you from the dead. But while we're here on earth, in this tent, in this body, it will empower us, it will strengthen us, it will give us endurance through tough times. I would you want to read one portion of scripture before I finish. In 2 Corinthians 5, starting at verse 5. Please, church, this is for us. Listen to these words. Let them soak in. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, that's our body, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven. Let me read that again. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven. Remember Rachel we spoke about? She has an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. So that the mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us a spirit, or His Spirit, should I say, as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. When we ask God to forgive us, when we asked God to forgive us, He gave us a measure of His Spirit. That's a deposit. That's there to encourage us and provoke us and stir us and condemn us and convict us that we should do the right thing. Not condemn us, sorry, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, but to convict us. Convince us of our need for Him. That Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Guaranteeing. When you put a deposit down on an item, then there's an expectation, isn't there, that you will go back and pay the full price. Well, God's given us a deposit and He's guaranteed that He will pay the price. And that's what He did when He shed His blood on the cross for me and you. Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. But we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? How many of us think, oh, I'd rather die and be with God in heaven? When we're going through good times, we don't think that way. When we're going through tough times, maybe we do think that way. But God is the God of all comfort, whether you're going through good times or you're going through tough times. Your day, He knows. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows when it's your time. And it's not your time yet. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say. Confidence should be in the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him. whether we are at home in the body or away from it. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You see, there is a day coming, isn't there, church? When we talk about the good news, there's got to be bad news, isn't there? Well, for us as Christians, yeah, we will be judged. We'll be judged for the things we've done and the things we haven't done. But we won't be judged unto death. God, through his mercy, gave us Christ Jesus. When we put our faith in him, we're guaranteed life. Guaranteed life. In life of all its fullness. But we as Christians will still stand before the judgment seat. But we don't need to fear the judgment of God, because he's redeemed us. But those that have not put their trust in God, they do need to fear God, because they will be judged according to their deeds. Without faith in Christ, they are doomed, as the scripture would say. Doesn't sound like good news, does it? But it is good news, because God gives us the opportunity now to repent. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. This portion of scripture is for us Christians. Since then, we know that it is to fear the Lord. What it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say we are, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, then it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this is the good news. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He's given us good news so that we can be good news. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. This is a good news story. But to save them. And he has committed to us, me and you, the message of reconciliation. That's to preach the word. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. I say to you again, if you don't know who Jesus is, then be reconciled to God through Christ Jesus. Repent and believe. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to become sin for us, for me and you, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God made Christ his son sin. He made him sin so that he could die and pay the price for me and you, so that we could be reconciled to God, and that we could become the righteousness of God, have a right standing with him. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, we thank you for your obedience in going to the cross. We thank you that you died to pay for our sins, but you rose again, conquering death. Because you live, we also live. Father, increase our faith, we pray. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Lord, help us to understand the ministry of reconciliation. Help us to understand what it is to share good news, that we may preach the word in season and out of season. Lord, bless us, church, that we may be a blessing. Hope to see you soon. Definitely want to speak with you soon. Please remember Rachel's family in prayer. Remember that we are the head and not the tail. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes through the word of Christ. Let's get into his word, church. Amen. Amen.